You're probably going to hate us, but we're conservative Christian moms. We're here to empower other conservative Christian moms to speak up, say what's true, and defend their children's futures. I'm Candy Rose, and I'm the often too honest mother of three. As always, I'm joined by Amy.
Hey, guys.
And Nikki River.
Hey, friends.
So today we're talking about disciplining our children. There are lots of parenting styles out there these days, from gentle parenting to spanking and everything in between. Where do we land on a biblical approach to proper parenting? What has worked for us and what hasn't? And how can we honor God with the way we respond to our children's behaviors? Pull up a chair. Let's dig in.
Yay, we get to offend more people.
Yay.
Are we offending people?
This does feel like an offensive topic. It does.
But I will caveat this one with saying what's the thing that you're always saying?
Oh, that's so true. Whatever you think, you're probably right. Wrong. It's it's just you're probably right. I don't know.
You're probably right. So if we're saying something and you're like, this is so wrong, you're probably right. And just come hang out with us anyway. Because I will also caveat, I don't know if I'm using that word correctly. It's like, I do not think it means what you think it means. But by saying that none of us have adult children yet. So we are not speaking from a completed or...
We're not professional.
No. So don't take what we're saying to the bank. This is just what's working for us currently. And we don't have finished people yet who are successful and thriving in the world. So yeah. TBD.
Yeah. And I mean, we're so obviously taking a biblical approach and, you know, what we've seen work and what we've seen not work. And there's so many factors. I will also say a little, I feel like caveat is not the right word. A little.
Okay. Let me
I
look
mean,
up
it
the
is
word
caveat the right word. Like, that's a correct use of the word.
Oh, okay. Okay. First.
I want to say I'm going to put in like a little disclaimer. I mean.
Disclaimer. That's a good one.
I have opinions for sure. But I was just telling a good girlfriend of mine this the other day. You know, God gave us moms specifically, I think, really strong. I don't even know how to put a name to it, like a mama heart. So, you know, there's so many different books that tell you so many different ways to raise your kid. And even aside from discipline, let's say like medically, that you have to make a lot of medical decisions for your kids. Like, there's so many really important decisions that we have to make for our kids. And I think there's something to be said about trusting your mom heart, your mom instinct. If you feel like something's wrong or something's not working, trust your mom instinct.
That
helps.
Super solid advice. That's about my depth of parenting knowledge so far. I only have 4-year-olds. And so like 2 years ago, I finally figured out, instead of just asking 50 people the same question until I heard the answer that I already wanted, I would just like trust myself. Like, oh, you know what? I already know the answer. But as a new mom, that takes time.
Yeah. And I find that's mostly true. Like, you want the answer that you want. And
yeah,
I don't know.
You just want someone to like validate that you're not crazy, that that's the right.
Yeah. You're not looking for feedback. You're looking for someone to say you're a good mom.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Or like, oh, yeah, I did. Like, what happened to me is a lot. It's like, oh, so my idea was right. I'm not just stupid. That was actually a good idea because someone else is telling me it's a good idea. So it must be good. Just like trust yourself.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
I
would definitely ask wanting somebody to tell me I was a good mom. And then when they come in with like steps A through Z on how my kids could be better, I was like, oh, well, blah.
Thank you.
It's kind of like, I don't know. It's maybe like when you ask your husband if you look fat in something and the answer you are expecting is like, you know, you look beautiful, honey. It's like when someone asks you... Just always say, that's you're exactly a good mom. You're doing great, mama.
You're doing a great job, yeah.
Although, to be fair, when I ask my husband, I'm like, I want a real answer. And he gives me real answers, and I appreciate that.
That's true. I do, too. Although, usually, Amy, what I want to know is what you're saying. I kind of want to know, is this flattering on me, or does this make me look like a little chubby? But usually, what he's commenting on is the fashion. That's not like the best fashionable choice. I'm asking for your
questionable
opinion.
Men.
You don't know.
Oh, the men folk.
Okay, well, I'm going to say right off the bat that, Candace, I'm going to out us that we call gentle parenting free-range parenting. And it's not our favorite free-range parenting in which you just are like, the children know best and you let them run around like wild. It's not our style. If that's your style, I respect you. I just disagree. and that's okay. Yes. But a lot of my feedback will probably be along the lines of not free-range parenting.
Yes.
I was on board with them. And even watching a lot of close family members walk through this right now with littles, I also have been like, oh, those poor things, bless their hearts. But I just picked up the book Parenting with Love and Logic. And ooh, as I'm reading it, I am understanding that maybe there's an end result. And that's why I said, disclaimer, we don't have finished people yet. You know, grown children that we can say that our methods have worked. Because as I'm reading it, I'm noticing that myself, my husband, and even my now preteens and teenager are exhibiting some of the results of the type of parenting, which is my parenting style is more authoritarian.
Oh, yeah.
Like, authoritative. Like, I'm the boss. You're going to do what I say when I say it. And there's no in between. I mean, there's some grace, but I'm definitely like, hey, if I said no, it's a no. And I don't leave space for all that, you know, arguing back and forth or anything like that. But what Parenting with Love and Logic saying is that kind of parenting style leads to kids who are secretive. And I'm reading it like with a sinking feeling in my chest because I was a very secretive teenager and I didn't tell my parents lots of things. And my husband, Scott, was raised very much like
strict.
I have a book over here called What the Bible Says About Child Rearing, and his parents, to be fair, they're all five kids, have successful careers, are all married with kids. However, I will say that they were all struggled with varying levels of secrecy and all that kind of stuff. So
that's
I don't know.
Interesting.
Okay. Yeah. That is interesting. And I'm going to disagree with you, Nikki.
That's okay. I love it.
So I was raised in a pretty strict household. We were spanked when we were kids. And no, I am not scarred from this. Shocking. I know. And of course, there's appropriate age for spanking and the type of spanking and all that. We can talk about that in a minute. But I was not more secretive than, I mean, I was a very normal kid and teenager. And I look back on my parents' parenting style. And I love, respect, and cherish what they did for me. Not everything was perfect, but the things I would point out that I would did differently that I don't like is not their disciplining. We talked about this on the very first episode. It's the choice they made with Halloween. It's the choice they made with Christmas. Mm. So it's like silly little stuff. I really love and appreciate the way they disciplined and raised me up to respect authority. But Nikki, and what you're saying, I don't want to completely disagree because I think there has to be a healthy boundary of both.
I think that's what I'm actually saying, that like, I feel like if you can marry that authoritarian style with love and grace, then it works. Mm-hmm. But if you venture too far into like, I am the final say no matter what, which is the way I was really raised and kind of the way I've approached a lot of my parenting. But until, you know, a little bit later, I spanked a few times and it just didn't work for me. But even with that, very, you know, my kids did what I said when I said it. I don't know. I definitely think all of one is bad, which is like everything we ever talk about. It's like the radical middle on everything.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is that discipline comes from discipleship. So a lot of people think of discipline and they think of punishment. And I think a lot of homes that are strict or that feel like, okay, we have to teach our kids boundaries and stuff, can rear into a punishment style. But actually, discipline is about discipleship. And so that does come with consequences. Discipleship is not, you know best. That would be crazy. Yeah. But it's also like coupled with that idea that we know you don't know, and it's okay to not know. And there's grace and there's mercy and there's room. One thing that I'm kind of like you, Candace, like the way that my parents did things worked for me. I don't know. I have three older siblings who might totally disagree. But I loved it because I felt like it was very gracious, but also very clear boundaries. But one thing I feel like I learned, which was just a generational thing, is that if I'm having an emotional breakdown, I need to go away. So one thing I do differently with my kids is like if they're throwing a fit, certainly a lot of times they need to go away, and I don't let them be mean to people just because they feel bad. You know, there's a difference between how you feel and how you behave. You have to control how you behave. You can feel however you need to feel. So that's a super hard boundary. But I try to be very present. It's like, hey, I'm here for you to cry with. I'm here for you to be angry with. You're allowed to have feelings around me. I want to hear about your feelings. I also still want you to behave. You still have to behave, right? So it's like, it is this radical middle place. But I do feel like a lot of our generation learned to like stuff our feelings, or like our feelings weren't allowed for other people, or I don't know. So that's one thing I've actually gleaned from gentle parenting is like, hey, let's like let them, I don't know.
Feel.
Yeah. It's funny because, right, like you can't. Okay, so going back to my childhood, I know I got spankings. I don't think I got them often because I think I was a pretty.
I like how you added a country accent.
Did I?
Spankings.
I didn't totally. Mean to.
I got spankings.
I got spankings. I do know that that happened. I don't think it happened a lot because I'm a firstborn. I was a pleaser. So I wasn't like a really rebellious child that needed a lot of discipline. I was naturally wanting to please my parents. But what I was going to say is I don't remember feeling in my childhood like I wasn't allowed to feel like what you're saying, Amy, with gentle parenting. Because I think what's happened with a lot of our generation is right now they're swinging too far the other side with what I would call free range parenting, because a lot of my parents' generation and beyond were so, so rigid. But I don't recall that for my own self. So it's hard for me to relate, I guess, to those people who are like, spanking is the devil and discipline is heartless. And I'm like, what?
It's funny because the way I was raised was very strict and I was spanked. I don't remember too much of it, but I was. But I think I wasn't allowed to feel. So that combination did create like a repressedness. And you're not even allowed to be upset that you're being yelled at. And so my discipline was always being disciplined in anger. So I think when I'm thinking I don't like that style of parenting, it's coming out of the experience of having felt small. And I've done it a couple times just because it's what I was raised with. But then I'm always like, I felt like I'm watching myself. Have you ever had an out-of-body experience? Yep. And you're like, stop. Yep, what are you doing? Yep. Stop. And then afterwards, I come back and I'm like, oh, I did that so badly. Yes, what you did was wrong. But what I did was also wrong. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry. This is what I'm trying to convey. You know, like coming back and repairing. So there's hope if you're messing up too far on that side. Yeah. But I also feel like the kids need to obey. The free range parenting is hard for me because I'm thinking of one family in particular. I won't bring them up in case they're listening. They are more liberal. And I don't think she knows about our podcast or anything. But just in case, I remember them being completely free range and everybody dreading any time their kids were going to be anywhere. Yeah. It was just horrendous.
Yes.
And
I know some families like that too.
But now this person's kids are older, almost done. And they're like the best human beings I have ever, like the best. So all of a sudden I'm like, wait a second. Whereas I know some kids that were the best kids ever, did everything their parents said, and they're horrible human beings now. So I right now I'm struggling with like, okay, Lord, what is the best way to raise people who are empathetic and kind, but also respectful and listen and obedient? So I'm learning too. So if we could figure this out today.
We're all learning.
Help me.
I don't think there's a one flat answer. Amy can say what she said, what she has done and how she grew up. I can say what I've done and how I grew up. But really, isn't that all we know? Nikki, all you know is the way you were raised and what you have done and what you've seen. There's still so much out there that we don't. I mean, but there's no right or wrong answer.
The weird thing is that discipline and correct behavior is in part a social construct. So some things are right and wrong. We know what those are pretty clearly. And the things that are in the gray area, we can teach our kids to feel convicted and follow the Holy Spirit. But some things, like when you're in a restaurant, you don't run around screaming. Well, that's a social construct, you know? It's like, you just have to learn how to be a person. And there's nothing necessarily inherently wrong. But a lot of that comes down to, I feel like, your values. It's like, you're the way you discipline is all about helping your kids understand values. So... you know, why don't you run around screaming in a restaurant? I will always explain to my children if they do this, hey, that's rude. Why, mommy? Well, because there's lots of people around you trying to eat. See all the people that you're interrupting? They're trying to have a peaceful conversation. and you're screaming, this is not the time or place to scream. It's rude to all those people. So it's like an empathetic reason, you know? It's like, what's the value? Why? It's not just it's not just a thing I'm saying. It's actually a reason. But like with spanking.
And that's even hard for them because they're like, well, why should I care that they're trying to have a quiet, peaceful conversation? Why don't they care that I want to run around and scream?
Yeah. I mean, fair question.
That's how I'm watching my sister's kids and they genuinely have that thought process. Well, I don't care that they want quiet. I don't want quiet.
Yeah. I've never had my child ask that back, but that's an interesting one.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think if you're going to parent that way, you have to be willing to just never leave your house, which sounds really scary and entrapment. It sounds very like, but I mean, if that's what you want to choose, you can do that, but.
We wouldn't have had kids.
Spanking was one I super struggled with because I always said I'd be a mom who spanks. It worked for me. It worked in our household growing up. So when I had kids, I was like, I don't know if I can do this. And so I had to go on my own little discovery journey. And I remember talking to my mom about it once. And she's like, you know what? When I had you guys, I had the exact same thing. But once I had kids, I felt like I didn't know if I could spank. I didn't know if it was the right thing to do. And I just sought counsel and learned. But one of the things she taught us was you never spank in anger. That to me is and can be abusive. So it's like, you know, if you're angry, send them to their room, set them aside, do something to help yourself calm down, because you want to spank in a way that actually teaches them a value or a lesson, not just have this traumatic experience. So we were always really careful about spanking in anger with our girls. But then we did it only for blatant disobedience. And we only had to do it a few times at a certain age. We learned really fast that for one child, our one who wanted to please, it worked really well. She didn't want to disappoint mom and dad, and so she learned not to be blatantly disobedient. For the other one, it didn't work at all. She did not care. And so we had to learn other incentives, other ways that were big consequences for her. But I don't know. So I understand when people ask the question, isn't that abusive? How can that be right? But there's some things at a certain age, right? How else do you teach them consequences when you can't do natural consequences yet because they're not quite old enough, but they're old enough to be blatantly disobedient? There's like this really special little age where it's like spanking does the job.
I remember, one time, I can't remember what Luca was walking towards, but he was 2, maybe 3. It might have been fire. And so what? The natural consequence would be to let him touch the fire and figure out that it's hot and it can get burned. And he went to it like 20, 30 times, kept walking over, and I kept pulling him away. So finally, I was like, Mama's going to spank you if you go to the fire again. And I did. And then he stopped going. He cried. He was upset. I comforted. But I felt like the lesser evil was a spanking, whereas a burn would have been a horrible. So I tried to blend when it was possible, like a very natural consequence. Of getting, you know, like mama said, don't do that. And then they fall and they get hurt. Like, oh man, you see, that's why mama didn't want you to do that, because mama didn't want you to get hurt. And then they learn to trust your word. But there's some things that mama doesn't want you to do that. And there's not a good reason. And therefore you just shouldn't do it. So that's where I really struggled. What about the things that don't have a natural consequence? What if it's just an obedience? God said to us, don't do X, Y, Z. And we're supposed to obey God. So pretty much we're a representation to God to them right now. Mm-hmm. And so how do we get them to obey with a joyful heart? And that's eventually going to set the stage for them in obeying their Heavenly Father. Do you know what I mean? Because I struggle to this day. I was rebellious. I didn't feel like I was loved through. I mean, I know I was loved. I didn't feel that. I know it as head knowledge, not heart knowledge. Mm-hmm. So I think that's my constant struggle now. How do I teach them that their obedience should, I don't know, be out of wanting? I want to obey. Mom and Dad have the best for me, as God has for us.
I don't think you can teach that, but I could totally be wrong.
Good point.
If Amy wants to jump in. Because, and Nikki, I totally agree with you. I would love for them to trust my heart, and they don't.
They don't.
I mean, they do. They do sometimes. Hopefully, they're trusting it more and more as the years go on. I remember having young, young children, like I think a 2-year-old and a baby, an infant, and someone saying to me, how did you know when it was time to start spanking? And I said, I knew as soon as my child was old enough to look at me with that look that says, can I touch this? And you say, no.
And they're like,
and they turn around and touch it. And of course, when they're little, you know, it's just a smack on the hand. It doesn't have to be anything crazy, but it's an immediate consequence. Mommy told you no. Now you get a smack, you know, and I agree with Amy. Never, never in anger, because that could definitely become abusive really quick. And yeah. I think I love everything Amy said. At such a young age, it's usually around one, maybe a few months later, when they start realizing, oh, mom told me no. You know it because they look at you. They always look at you. You're like, no, no, don't do that. And then they turn around and look at you like, are you serious? And you're like, yes, I'm serious. Don't do that. So, but it's such a young age, right? It's a smack on the hand. It's nothing crazy. And then they get a little bit older and it might be a smack on the bottom. But honestly, I feel like it doesn't even go on that long before the consequences you can give them doesn't have to be spanking anymore. You know what I'm saying? It's a really good tool. At least we found it was a good tool when the kids were younger. But the older they got, it can cross a line into abuse, which obviously we do not want. And there's so many other ways to motivate them. Now I have teenagers and we stopped spanking so long ago. And now,
so long ago, yeah. We stopped. I mean, I have 4-year-olds. Yeah. We haven't spanked in 18
months.
It's
very early on. Time. Yeah, it's like an early to set the standard. But I feel like I wish we had somebody on here that was totally gentle parent that could talk with us right now, because I want to understand where the logic in it came. Like, true, like, I know they're just arguing it's abuse, but those kids are so, I'm so sorry. I'm not trying to judge you guys. I love you all. Just throwing it out there. But it's very hard to be around kids that weren't taught boundaries at all. So we're going to have to do this conversation again and have, if you're listening and you want to join us and tell us how why your approach worked. And if your kids aren't, you know, the ones everyone's like, no.
But what if you don't know? What if you don't know that you're the one and and no one wants to be around you?
It's you right now if you're listening. Your kids are crazy.
Here's something interesting, actually, a couple thoughts I have. One, Jordan Peterson talks about how it's actually important socially construct-wise, obviously not biblically because he doesn't know Jesus. I can't stress that enough. I'm not trying to say go be discipled by Jordan Peterson. He says that social construct-wise, it's really important that your kids are liked. It sets them up for a lot of really important developmental things. When they are the kid no one wants to be around with, other kids don't want to play with, and parents don't want to be around them, it sets them up for kind of like a really bad life, to be honest. Yeah. Like, that's what he says, and he's a psychologist. Yeah. And so
I agree.
I think that's true. I think kids that have great interactions with other kids and great interactions with adults are set up differently than kids who aren't. But also, I feel like this kind of discipline, this kind of young, respond immediately type of discipline, truly is a safety issue. And the best example I can come up with is that your kid running in the road. I mean, when I was growing up, there was this couple that lived next door who had kids around my age, and they had a younger one. And I remember one day being out playing with one of their older sons, and the little baby ran into the road, and the mom was trying to convince the baby to come back, and she got a sucker out, and she was trying to bargain with her child to come out of the road.
I don't know if I want to hear the end of the story.
It was fine. We lived in the cul-de-sac. Was fine. But I remember even as a kid, maybe fourth grade, watching that and going, that's a terrible idea.
You should
never have to bargain with your child to do something in obedience, because it's actually a safety issue. So we taught our kids and told them very young, you have to be obedient immediately. Why? Because sometimes mom and dad are keeping you safe. So you have to learn this. And that's, for me, that's why gentle parenting or free range parenting can, depending on what you're doing, can actually be really dangerous. It's actually
I mean, because why else are you telling them? Think about an infant or a toddler. Why do you ever tell them no? It's because they want to touch a socket, which is dangerous. It's because they want to touch something that's breakable. And if they break it, there'll be shards of glass. And that's dangerous. What else are we telling them no about except the dangerous things? You know, because they're too young to be like disrespectful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't know. They're looking to you to teach them. And don't we all feel safer with boundaries?
Yeah. Oh, 100%. Boundaries are good.
It's so hard, because it's hard if you're an adult that wasn't perhaps parented correct. So there's like a lot of emotions involved around it. And it's hard to not get emotional when you're parenting. But I think what I'm hearing and my takeaway is the best way to do this is to do it with, I don't know, being calm.
Yeah.
And that's not one of my, like, you know, I often have to be like, okay, now that the harder years are, I mean, I'm sure the harder years are coming up because, again, 11 and 13. But, like, I feel like I'm in this little tiny honeymoon period where nothing's too crazy yet. So I've found kind of a nice little spot where I can be calm, and then they are really receptive to that. But I just don't know, like, how, when they're all emotional and irrational, like, how do you not let that, how do you not take the bait? They're, like, casting stones, maybe those kids are, you know?
Yeah. Like, well, sometimes you do. And then, like Amy said, I think it was Amy, or maybe it was you, Nikki, you have to go back later, apologize and say, hey, what you were doing is wrong, but I handled it wrong. Sometimes I have to separate, like, okay, you're being irrational. I'm going to walk away for a minute and calm my own self down before I do
it. I definitely think walking away can sometimes be the better choice, or at least for a minute. You know, while that may make them angry that you were like, give me 3 minutes in this other room. Also, something I'm trying with my kids, and I'm truly the most experimental out of all of us because I just have no idea where any of these things are going to take my children.
We're throwing spaghetti at the wall.
Totally. But one thing that I learned from some, I don't know, person in a reel is talking through the emotions with your kids. So, hey, mommy's getting really angry right now. I don't feel like I'm being listened to. I'm going to take some deep breaths.
That's good.
So I do that with my girls when I have the presence of mind to do it, which isn't all the time. But they know. You know, so this morning we had to rush out the door to get in the car, and I was getting really frustrated with them because they're toddlers and they're slow, or they're not toddlers, but they're little and they're slow.
They're
going to be late to school. And, you know, I was talking more loudly and being annoyed, and we got in the car and I was all stressed. And I just said, girls, we should all take deep breaths. I'm sorry that this morning was stressful.
Good.
So they were like, okay, mommy, let's count to four, you know, they're all in the bag taking
like Daniel
deep breaths.
Tiger.
Yeah.
I
so, you know, I think when you're angry, talking about that, even with your teenagers, hey, I'm feeling really angry right now. It's not your fault, but I'm angry. So I'm going to go not be angry, and then we can talk about this. And I don't know how that would work, but it works with my four-year-olds.
Yeah. I would use, when my kids were really little and they were making, this is what I would say. I would say, you are making me crazy. And Selah, we used to say, we got to be careful or we're going to make mom crazy. Yeah.
That is so funny because I am the opposite of that, Candace, to hear you say that. I feel like my parents said that to me a lot. So what I tell them, because they're always saying, you're making me mad, or you're making me do this, or you're making me do that. And I'm always telling them, nope, nobody can make you do anything. You're choosing to feel this way. Yeah. I'm probably can learn better ways because I love you to talk to you. But I don't know. Like when they say you're making me mad, I'm like, no, there's a consequence for your actions. And you're mad at me, but I didn't make you mad. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. Our physical responses aren't somebody else's responsibility is what I'm trying. Only because I was raised to feel like everything was.
That is true. I haven't said that. it's a better way of phrasing. Right.
Yeah.
You've said that before.
And nothing
Nikki,
wrong with that.
And I've definitely taken that to heart, like in the way that I say things to them, you know, is like, as opposed to, you know, you're being frustrating or whatever. It's like, hey, I'm frustrated.
I'm frustrated. Taking responsibility.
Yeah. So I appreciated that. You said that a while back and I was like, oh, yeah. Okay, well, in the corner of the gentle parenters, there are definitely more things that I've done that are probably considered gentle parenting than I ever thought I would. One of them, when my kids were infants and learning how to sleep in their own cribs, is called, it's gentle sleep training. The alternative to that is something called cry it out. A lot of parents, and what I always thought I would do is called cry it out. And so basically in intervals, you let your kids cry. So you might say goodnight, you leave and you set a timer for 5 minutes, let them cry as long as they need to cry for 5 minutes. You go in, say, okay, I'll be back in 10. And you set timers for yourself. And you basically just have to like sit in the hall and just listen to them cry. And it's horrible. And
I failed at that.
Yeah, I tried that for like one night and I was like. So I looked into other stuff and I found something called gentle sleep training, which is more aided. So it's a whole process and you have to aid them into self-soothing. And it takes a week or two, but it works really well. And my kids have been great ever since. But that's an example of like, even my amazing sister, who is such an incredible mom, she did cry it out, and her kids have always slept longer and better than mine. But I just couldn't bring myself to do that to them. I just felt like it wasn't right, honestly. So that's a gentle parenting thing I did.
That is a gentle parenting thing. And Amy, I would try to encourage you that it might not be because she did the cry it out method, because some kids are just good sleepers and some aren't.
She has four and they all identically sleep deeply and like 12 hours. So I blame it on.
I'll speak to that. My sister did the cry it out, and her 3, 5-month-old, 2-year-old and 4-year-old sleep 12 hours solid. Yeah. And I only have 2 kids because they slept with me until they were both 4. Because I also could not handle hearing them cry it out.
Well, I guess I never read it. I didn't read a lot of books when my kids were little. I kind of did more like experience and trial and like what felt right. And I even would like to bring up the scriptural basis too. But with the cry it out thing, it just, I don't know, it made sense because they never cried that long. So at a certain age, they didn't need to be soothed as much anymore. They didn't need to nurse. And so it was, go in, pat them on the back, give them back their binky if they want it, and be like, okay, you need to go to sleep, and then walk away. It never took a super long time for them to pick up the whole concept of sleeping. I think if I had kids that were like screaming and screaming, I don't know. I just think I would have maybe considered gentle if it had been like a traumatic thing and my kids wouldn't stop crying and I'm like, somebody help me. I don't know. Okay. So scripturally,
I should have had you do it. I should have called Kent. I wish I had known you back then. Come sit here and hear my kids scream for hours.
No, see, I think that would have been so hard. If my kids were just screaming for hours, I think I would have been like, what do I do?
Yeah, mine. That's what mine did too. Like, no.
But I'm a sleeper and my kids are all sleepers. So I just wonder if they just naturally were like, oh, this is good. I love it.
Oh, I bet you there's a both and. Like some kids, I'm sure there's some, but I'm sure that a cried out method's probably good for them too.
I don't know. So I would just like to put in a little caveat, a little note. What works for us, each of us separately, and you out there, it's going to be different, not only because we are different people, even just the three of us, but also our kids are so radically different. I have 3, you each have 2, my mom had 5. And like I said, her and my dad did, they believed in spanking. They spanked all of us. But if you ask her, one of the 5 of us, it never worked. And they figured it out really quickly. And so they stopped. And it was Jake. I'll just say, he won't be embarrassed. Jake could not handle the spanking. And my mom thinks it had something to do with the physicality of it. He just would lose it emotionally every time. Not like a normal response to a spanking, like a little, you know, it hurts, you cry, like irrational upsetness to that physicality. So she used timeouts and it worked out really well. You know, so every child is different. You have to remember that. And also ages too. I said this earlier, but you know, when they're little, you smack a hand. When they get a little bit older, you maybe smack a butt, and then you use consequences as far as like, I'm going to take this away, or, you know, you're only going to get this for whatever, you know, you take things away, or you reward the good things. You know, I always say to the kids, like, consequences, natural or not natural. Right. If you do something good, me and dad are happy and we want to reward you for this really awesome thing. If you're doing things disobediently, there's going to be a consequence. You know, you're not allowed to do that. You know the rules. So now we're taking away, you know, whatever it is.
X, Y, Z.
Yeah. And even now that we're coming into teen years, it's so different again. I've been listening to podcasts and doing my best. And I keep trying to talk to my husband and just say, it's different now. I know they're not little kids. They're young adults, even though that's not what the world calls them. And we have to give them more of a voice. So we have, you know, hard and fast rules, especially around their phones. That's such a big thing right now. But outside of that, different boundaries we've put up, there's always a reason in our heart and in our mind. But I always encourage the kids now that they're older, like, I am willing to hear, if you don't think this is fair, I want to know why. Like, I want to talk about it. Because like you said, Nikki, I don't want them sneaking around behind my back. And I'm open to the fact that I'm possibly wrong about things. So I just think it's constantly changing. It's constantly changing. But I did want to read scripture. So there's quite a few scriptures in the Bible about discipline, but the one that people use often, and I'm just going to say it because it's a good one, is Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24, it says, "Those who spare the rod of discipline hate their children. Those who love their children care enough to discipline them." And I don't think it's necessarily specifically about the spanking, although obviously that does imply spanking. I think it's everything you have said, Amy, and even Nikki. Discipline is important. It's important socially. It's important spiritually. Discipline is just an important part of life. If you're giving your kids no discipline, what are you teaching them?
I guess we're saying we fundamentally disagree with no discipline because it's not the, even the way that the Lord has corrected his children.
No.
All through scripture over and over and over and over again.
And there's plenty of scriptures in there that says God loves us and that's why he disciplines us. It's all through the Old Testament. There's a little bit in the New Testament too. It's repeated over and over again. He disciplines you because he loves you. What's better for
him? And I guess some people would say the New Testament like eradicates that, but I would that would be a different podcast for a different day.
It doesn't. But you're right. Some people would say that.
Yeah.
People could say that.
I'm really curious. I'm curious about, because a lot of us have very similar feelings, at least at the base level. We're like, hey, socially you need to behave, you know, obedience is important. I'm just curious as to somebody with a very different perspective would think, or even our friend Hadassah that came on. She's like a therapist and she raises her kids. I'd be curious to hear what she has to say.
I think we're
going to have to circle back to this.
Yeah. I mean, I won't speak for her, but I do know that they did not spank, but there's still discipline.
They were still disciplined. So it wasn't like complete like
chaos,
like coddling. I think what we're speaking to is when we see like nothing, like when you're trying to logic the kids completely into behavior. I haven't seen that working. Again, I've seen one. Well, actually, I saw that one family where their kids have turned out amazing. But man, it seems like an 18 or, you know, 14 to 14 years of misery for maybe a lifetime of good. I don't know. You guys are probably right.
I think it's hard. Part of what's hard for me is that some of the values that come with the extreme gentle parenting are like the, I mean, there's some schools of thought that probably nobody listening to this podcast really believes fundamentally that say your kids, even at 18 months old, a year old, 6 months old, 6 days old, know best for themselves. And so therefore, you know, so there is a school of thought that's like, hey, my kid knows what they need. They know what gender they are. They know all the things, right? And like that as a value has no place in my home. Like it's not
problematic.
It's not biblical.
Even for society.
It's not biblical. Yeah.
Totally for society.
That brings to mind that time where someone was asking their kid to permission to change their diaper. And I don't remember when that was circulating.
Yes.
Like, I don't know back what you're talking about. And you're like, how can a 2-month-old, 3-month-old, 4-month-old say, yes, mommy, change my diaper? Yeah. Wink once if you want me to change your
They're
diaper.
They're screaming because their diaper's dirty. Change it.
Change the diaper. Yeah. No, I see what you're saying. That's an extreme example, but yes.
Yeah. Yeah. But like there is that, right? So like that just, I think, again, that's just not biblical. You can be anywhere on the spectrum of how gentle or how whatever, but if what you're teaching your kids ends up being a value of like, you really know better than anybody. Well, actually, no, even I don't know better than anybody. Only God knows best, right? And so, you need to listen to me because I have more wisdom and more years and it's my job to train you up. But ultimately, it's my job to train you up to have a habit and a muscle memory around obedience to God the Father, because only he's good. Only he knows best. And that feels like it has to be the base of any kind of parenting philosophy.
I agree.
Yeah, I agree.
And everything else is just whatever.
It's just whatever. And Amy, I love what your example of using gentle parenting when the babies cried. Again, use your mommy instinct. You tried the cry it out method and your mommy heart was like, I can't do this. And that's okay. That's not even, I mean, I would argue babies crying in the crib. That's not even a discipline thing. I guess you could argue, but they're babies.
Yeah. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Ask God to help you discern. I mean, like Candace, like what you were saying, every kid is different. Oh, yeah. Every situation's different. And I'm definitely for approaching the throne of grace humbly and begging God, like, okay, Lord, is this how? I feel like he's very good at saying yes or no. Same with you guys. I did a little bit of spanking. One kid, it wasn't working. One kid, it worked.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, use your discernment, but But get in the word and figure out what God has to say about raising kids. And yeah. I'm still trying to figure it out with an 11-year-old and a 13-year-old. Lord, help me.
And when you read all those parenting books, because there's so many, yeah, I would still just remember how important God puts such an emphasis on discipline in the Bible. So I would just keep that in mind while you're...
Oh, and Candace, you said one thing that I loved. I think a lot of parents now are, because there's so much social media and so much, like, everyone's so busy just scrolling. I so agree with what you're saying, that if you don't love your kid, you don't discipline them. And I feel like that's what's happening. We have like a whole generation of people who are just being left to their own devices. And that's not love. Like, it's actually the opposite of love.
That's what the
Bible says. If you don't care, yeah, if you don't care and you don't love, you're not going to correct and you're not going to discipline. You're just going to be like, well, And then I feel like we're living out the real-time consequences of that type of parenting.
Oh, totally.
It's sad. I would have to look it up, but I know statistically the amount of screen time kids get every day is insane.
That I don't want to know. I probably should.
Well, something I feel like it's 8 to 10 hours. It's something crazy.
Whoa.
It was really, really high. Yeah.
Holy Toledo. Something that is, I am learning at this point, that has been a good balance to the immediate obedience, like, do what I say thing, is that one of my kids is especially, she needs to finish a task or she needs to put things away in the way that she intended, or if she has something on her mind, she just can't even emotionally handle not doing the thing before, whatever. And so what I used to perceive as disobedience, like, hey, I told you to come here and she's walking away from me. I'm now learning is like, oh, are you trying to go get that thing? Or are you like, or whatever it is. I mean, I don't have very good examples, but I'm sure you guys have found that too with older kids.
Yes.
Is like just having more communication. Discipline doesn't mean necessarily dictatorship.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Kids are people too.
I'm learning that. I'm unlearning some of that for myself. So this is really good. I'm going to keep digging into this and keep asking God for wisdom on how raise good humans.
Right. It's hard and it's always changing. Gosh, because they're growing and so hard.
We're growing.
I just looked it up. It said that teens on average spend 9 hours a day on phones, kids between 4 to 6 hours.
That's still too much.
Every day. That's this still just sounds like so much.
It's very sad.
A lot of feelings about that.
Yeah.
I go cry in a corner.
I hope none of this came across as judgmental. We love you guys. Like, we might feel judgment, but God's working on us too. So we love you guys. I think this was a good conversation. Love to hear some thoughts. You guys should comment on our Instagram or on the podcast. Yeah. Give us a 5-star review.
I love Amy's little plug. Our Nikki.
I'm like, leave us a 5-star review. We love those. And you're probably going to hate us.
But you're going to love us.
You're going to love us.
See you guys.
Love you guys.